Okay. Good morning, everyone. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness and grace and love to us. We thank you that we can gather in your house on this Lord's Day, and we pray that you would bless each one who has come today, that we might receive something that would be helpful to us, and that we might go forth to be good witnesses for you in this world in which we live today. Thank you so very much for all that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We just praise you and thank you for our salvation and for every blessing that you give us day by day. We just ask you today to be with each one. If those who are ill today, we pray that you might undertake for them and guide and help each one of us in all that we do that will be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, you
may scripture this morning from Isaiah chapter 38. We've been in Isaiah now for a while and looking at some of these different subjects. And here we're talking about Hezekiah again. We saw him last week. And in chapter 38 and beginning at verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said, In the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. My age is departed and removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make me an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes failed with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself has done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? So we'll take a look at that in just a few moments. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. That ye shall be called the sons of God. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus paid it all, that we might have everlasting life. Let's look back at once again Isaiah 38 primarily. Facing a personal crisis. You've just been informed by the doctor that your illness is terminal. You only have a short time to live. What an emotional upheaval would take place if that happened to us, wouldn't it? All kinds of thoughts cross your mind. Perhaps regrets. Would you despair? Or in faith, believing God would have the answer, that he would work it out. Certainly, this would be a personal crisis of the highest magnitude and important for each and every one of us to look at. Sooner or later, we must all face that, such a crisis as that. Now, Hezekiah, who we saw last week, had to face a number of crises in his life. When he was a young man, we saw that he made a choice, a choice in his life to not follow the way that his father had led the nation, but to destroy the idols and to worship God and him alone. So he made a choice that was so important. He forsook the idolatry of his father and all of the leaders of the nation and set up a new system of following after the word of God. He destroyed all the false gods and served faithfully the Lord. Then we find also he faced the crisis of conflict. We saw this last week of the powerful Assyrian army had come against Jerusalem, and they were outside and taunting him and all of the people. But he overcame them by trusting in the Lord. He looked to him. He took the word of God from Isaiah, and then he prayed and sought the Lord's face. And the Lord took care of the problem, didn't he? He destroyed all the false gods and the army of the Assyrians. He took them and solved the problem by destroying them. Can you imagine one angel destroying 185,000 of these soldiers? Wow. You know, we think, well, is that possible? We saw this video this morning about Genesis and the key to overcoming the culture and all of the things that they teach that's contrary to the Word of God. And I'm sure this would be a good one, wouldn't it? Did that angel really destroy 185,000? Doesn't that sound ridiculous? That's the way of the world, isn't it? And yet God is able. And he did. He did exactly what he said he would do. He destroyed the army and sent the king back where he came from. And so we find these crises that came. And here in this chapter, 38, we find a very personal crisis. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. Here he is. He's on his deathbed. And the man of God, Isaiah the prophet, comes in and he says, "Be healed." No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He came in and he said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." How would you like to receive a message like that? Here we have it. He says, you know, you don't have any hope. Hezekiah's sickness was going to be unto death. He was deathly ill. And the prophet announced his death was coming, imminent. And so Hezekiah, it says, turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. He looked unto the Lord in this desperate moment when he's finding that he's going to die. It's been announced. And he says, set your house in order. Get everything ready, you know. And at this time, there was no son to take the place of Hezekiah. Here he is, without anyone to take over the work. And he turns to the Lord and explains to him all that he has done and his love for God, his love for his people, and the work that he needs yet to do. Here's his reaction. He prayed to the Lord. Verse 2, he turned his face to the wall and said, "Remember now, O Lord." Of course, the Lord hadn't forgotten, had he? He knew better already. But anyway, he says, "I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart." Now he's saying, you know, he wants to do the right thing. And he's done that which is good in the sight of the Lord. So, and Hezekiah was a good king compared to the others. It said he was one just like David, who had been a good king, and some others. And here Hezekiah is saying, "Lord, I've tried to serve you. I've done the best I can." And he prayed to the Lord, trying to get him to extend his life. And so this was his first impulse, was to cry out to the Lord in prayer. He looks to him, just as we do whenever we have a problem like this, right? We always look to the Lord and find that he's there to answer us. We don't always get the answer that we want. Sometimes he doesn't change his mind or his actions. And we have to accept whatever he says. But here we find Hezekiah praying. And it says here about he wept sore. He was a righteous man. He had faithfully served God, but he was not ready to die. You know, back then in the Old Testament, they had, when they died, they had this place of Sheol that they went to, and I think they weren't quite sure what all that meant, you know. It's different now. We know that since Jesus has died for us, and we are saved by his precious blood, when we die, we go to be with the Lord. If we have our faith and trust in him, right? He paid the price for our sins and gave us eternal life. But here in the Old Testament time, it wasn't quite that clear. And so Hezekiah doesn't want to die like this. I read one place, he was only about 39 years old. I can't remember where I read it, but I know I saw it that said it was he was only 39 years old. So, you know, he's in the prime of life, right? And here he gets the announcement, death is coming. Prepare yourself. Get ready. And so here, Isaiah had received this message from the Lord. He had gone and told him that. And now, it said in 2 Kings chapter 18, there's also the whole section there on the same story. And there it says that before Isaiah had left the premises, before he had gone out of the court, God spoke to him and said, go back and speak to the king again. And we find here that he extended his life by 15 years. See? So, you know, when we think, look like things are hopeless sometimes, you know, God can do whatever he pleases. And he saw fit to change his own prediction and extend the life for him. Verse 5, it says, go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Okay? So, it does pay sometimes to really pray, right? And here we find that God answered his fervent prayer. And it says that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, over in the book of James. Effectual, fervent prayer. And here we find Hezekiah sincerely asking God to be with him and to extend his life. And sure enough, he did. And why? What did he do? We had this extra 15 years. We wonder, should he have accepted what God said and went ahead and died? Or should he live longer and accomplish more? At this time, as I said, he didn't have a son or anyone to replace him, right? And we find over in 2 Kings and chapter 20, we find his story here and how it says here that they would add 15 years to his life in verse 6. And he was going to deliver them from the Assyrians. That had not happened yet. And I will defend this city and save them. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Now, it's a little bit different way of saying it here. But this is what I use medicine to help save this man from death. So I think that's legitimate to think about. And God told him what to do. And then he goes on here to talk about what is he going to do during this time. We find that verse 19 of chapter 20, 2 Kings. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So he did a number of improvements, brought water into the city and made it possible for everyone to have the water that they needed in order to survive if they had an assault on the city or whatever. And then it says, and Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. Notice what it says in 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. So that means he was born after God extended the life of Hezekiah. Huh? Manasseh was one of the worst kings that Judah ever had. So would it have been better for Hezekiah to have died rather than have this son that was such a horrible, terrible king? It said, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And they built up all of the idols that Hezekiah had destroyed and all the rest. And at the very end of his life, though, he turned back to the Lord. That's interesting. But so much damage was done. And I know there is a story that he may have been the one to have killed Isaiah, sawed him in two with a wooden sword or something like that. It speaks of that over in Hebrews about dying by the sword, by the saw, and that kind of thing. And perhaps that happened as well. But it just makes you wonder. Should we accept what God says, or should we try to change it somehow? And here, but we do see that God did allow it to happen. And I don't know what he was thinking. You know, you might say, okay, this is what you want, you'll get it. And so they got this horrible king that came in his place. Anyway, so they also, it says in another place, he did some other things as well during that last 15 years. He and the men of Hezekiah copied out the Old Testament scriptures and put them in order. So he did some wonderful things even during that last period of time. And so we don't know. We don't always know how God is going to work and how everything will work out for him. So we see God's, he heard his prayer and he answered what he asked for. The God doesn't always hear an answer, does he? I guess he hears. He knows when we pray to him, but we wonder sometimes. You know, we just had to, we've been praying for this little girl. I know, you know, cancer's a horrible thing, isn't it? It's a horrible thing. And this little seven-year-old girl had cancer. And it was all over the internet and everything else. Her family was having everybody pray for her and all this. And finally, she just passed away. She went. But, you know, I read her grandmother put on there a conversation she had had with Riley. And she put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Took him into her heart as her Savior and Redeemer. So we know that she went to be with him. What a joy it is to know that our loved ones are safe in the arms of Jesus. And this little one went also. So the Lord heard his prayer. Sometimes he answers the way we want. Other times he doesn't. And we don't know what the outcome's going to be until later. He saw his tears. You know, there's nothing wrong with crying sometimes, is it? You know, it's supposed to be an unmanly thing to do, to cry. But no, there are things that should make us cry and weep before the Lord. And when we see what's happening around us, all of the unrest and everything, the violence, the ungodliness, what is it? Abortion? The abortion? That's the one thing. I was just reading something last night about that, and this minister said that that's the big issue today. It was slavery way back in history, but that's all gone. Well, that kind of slavery. But today, abortion. We also have the slavery, some kind of slavery still going on even today. But anyway, some of those things do bring tears to your eyes thinking about it, right? We cry out to God and see if he will answer. But anyway, he did answer his prayer. He extended his life. And so that he lived another 15 years. He delivered the city. He promised he would. And the Assyrians were defeated. This angel, God sent one angel, and he destroyed all of those, that great army. He gave him he gave him a sign. Did you notice here, this was a sign he gave. There was a sundial that they had made in verse 8 of chapter 38, Isaiah. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. You see? Turn time back 10 degrees. And so the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down. And Hezekiah took that as a sign that God would answer his prayer. And so this is the sign that he gave him. And then we find here Hezekiah rejoicing. His writing in verse 9, it says, this is something he wrote after he recovered from his sickness. And notice in verse 10, he says he had resigned himself to a certain extent for a while there, that he was going to die. He said, I said in the cutting off of my years, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. So first of all, he thought that was going to happen. But then later we find that he saw that God was going to answer him. And Isaiah came with the good news. You're not going to die after all. God was just kidding. Well, I don't know about that. But anyway, he did answer his prayers. He cried out to God for help, and the Lord answered his prayers. And God's love was expressed to him in a very special way. And he forgave him of every sin. Verse 17, it says, Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Isn't that beautiful? Cast all of my sins behind your back, behind the back of God. He can't see them anymore. He has forgiven us, just like he forgives us by grace through faith in Christ. When we put our faith and trust in him, we have everlasting life. Forgave him of every sin. He prayed to the Lord and rejoiced in all that he had received. Verse 19, he says, The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his answering of our prayers. Should be an encouragement, I think, to us. Go ahead and pray, and allow the Lord to work in our lives. And then he sang songs of praise. Notice verse 20, it says, The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord in song, praising him for his goodness in answering the prayers. So what do we see here in this, this message? Everyone faces personal crises, don't we? And ultimately, we have to face death itself. Many face death alone without any help. Think of that. You know, we have to have our faith in Jesus Christ. You know, then we can face death without reluctance. You know, knowing that when we leave this world, we'll go to a far better one, right? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. God hears and answers prayer. Prayer is a powerful instrument in the hand of a believer. Now you have to be a believer. You have to know Christ. It's not a foolish waste of time, as many believe. But it's rather the most important exercise that we can perform. We're in touch with the living God when we go to him in prayer. And he is able to answer us. God has the answer to every crisis, whatever it might be. and he can certainly change everything if he so desires. We don't know what his answer may be. But by faith, we must cry out to him and look to him for whatever it is. Maybe we'll be surprised at what comes to pass. I'm sure Hezekiah was. And then give God the glory for all that he does. Sing his praises. Praise him and give him the glory. And show your love and compassion for others. Show your love and gratitude to him. And obey his work. Walk in the way that he would lead us. And honor him in all that we do. Face the crisis with God. Don't try to do it by yourself. You can't do it. We need him so much. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. We just pray that you will teach us something that will be helpful as we go through life and as we do face the crises that come. May we look to you for our answer. May Christ Jesus, our Lord, be glorified in all that we do and say, that we might honor you and magnify your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.